Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Bible study. We're going to be studying Colossians chapter 3 today. We'll open up in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, you are the Almighty God. You are with us every moment. You love us more than we can understand. You have a heart for us. You seek us out. You pursue us with your love. You offer to all of us the gift of salvation, freedom in your sight, forgiveness of sins, cleansing, washing, and purity. For that, we thank you, God. You love us and you save us, and we are your children. We are blessed to know you. You are the powerful, all-present God. And we are here today to study your word, that our hearts might be changed, that our lives might be changed, that we would walk according to what you say with the power that you give us to obey you. We know this is a spiritual book that talks of spiritual things, and it is the truth. Your word, O Lord, is truth. May this hour that we spend in the word of God, may your word penetrate our hearts, penetrate our minds, and bring about the change of life so that we walk pleasing in your sight. And we know that we can do that because we know that your spirit indwells us, and we know that you walk with us, and we know that greater is you than anything we face, than any problem we have, than any illness that we have. It's all for you, for your glory, and by your power you sustain us. Here we are. Today we have an hour together, but Lord, we are your children forever, and that is a beautiful gift. Lord, teach through me this morning. Let your word do its mighty work among us today. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Colossians 3 talks to us and tells us, since you're a believer now, this is the way that you act. This is how your heart should be. These are things you should be doing. You see, God invited all the Gentiles to come into the family of God. Gentiles being any other people, nation, or tribe that were not exactly the Jewish Israelites. We today would have been considered the Gentiles at that time. We are blessed because God invited all of us to be his children. Colossians says, since you are now believers, this is what God wants. This is what pleases the Lord. And that's what we're going to look at today. We have been in the earlier part of Colossians, the supremacy of Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, and in him all the fullness of Godhead dwelt. Christ Jesus is to be praised and has already been proclaimed in his power and in his divinity earlier in the book of Colossians. Now remember, Colossians is a letter. It's one letter, four chapters. We've broken it up into chapters, but it was one letter written. So the letter starts with Jesus is supreme, and it ends with this is now how we act in relationship to him, with him, and with others. Do you understand that? So when we get to the Colossians chapter 3 and we get to the nuts and bolts of the practical way to live this life, God is not only about legalism, following just the rules. We're looking at that part of it today. But remember, all of this comes in the relationship of love. Love with our God. Love with his love for us, our love for God, and the relationship we have with each other. Do you understand that? So if I'm talking today and you're hearing, goodness gracious, the Bible's just a list of do this and do that and don't do this and don't do that. Please don't hear that today, because you need to consider context. And the context of where we are today, even though it's got some nuts and bolts and do this and be about this and don't be about that, it comes from the bigger picture, which is Colossians, which comes from the bigger picture of all of God's word given to us, which started way back in the Garden of Eden and will continue on until glory. So today it's practical, but that comes within the relationship of love, and we are his children. You love your children, or your parents loved you, and there were certain ways to do yes and ways not to do that. So we can understand that there's love is the greater thing. And then the expectations and how we walk that out. So the context being God loves us, we're his children. Okay, today we get to the structure of it. Let's begin in Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. I'm going to be reading for you from the ESV, that's the English Standard Version. But so we're going to start there. Colossians 3, verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after its image of its creator. Here, there is not Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then as God's chosen one, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these things, put on love. Above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of God, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ, for the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. That's part of the letter. That's the part of the do's and the don'ts. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to break that down, and we're going to talk about this, and we're kind of going to look at it in the big picture of what chapter 3 is, and we're also going to look at the little bits and parts. So let's look at verses 1 through 4. The chapter begins with this: if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, set your mind on the things that are above. If you have been raised with Christ, so that is talking about the spiritual transformation that has occurred. That is saying if you're saved. That is saying if you have put to death your old life, your sin, and you have been freed and forgiven and received a new spirit because what Jesus has done for you, if you have been raised with Christ. Here's what the scriptures say in Colossians, in the chapter that we just had in chapter 2 last week. Starting in verse 11, Colossians 2, it says, in him, in Christ Jesus, in him, also you were circumcised with a circumcision not made by hand, but by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God. So if we were buried with him in baptism, and that is a symbol that says to the world, I have died, Just like a person goes into the grave once they have died, we go under the water. It's a symbol that says, I have died, but when I rise up from the water in baptism, it's a symbol that I'm going to rise up with Jesus Christ. I'm a new person. This is my new life. I've been born again. So if we have been raised up with Christ, we're new people. Praise the Lord. So this is what it's saying at the beginning and the end of chapter 3. If you have been raised with Christ, it's another way of saying, if you have Jesus in your heart, it's another way of saying, if you have found that holy rest. It's a euphemism. It's a metaphor. You know, the Bible is full of this stuff. If you've been raised with Christ, if you are a believer, if you've been born again, and there's going to be lots of this in here because it's, you have put off the old and you have put on the new. That's the same thing. It's talking about the spiritual transformation that has occurred. We once walked this way. We once were this way. Then we met Jesus. And now we are new creations in Christ. So this is what we're talking about. So here's the premise. If you have been raised with Christ, believers, here's the next thing. Here's your instructions. Seek, seek the things that are above. This is where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above. Seek the things that are above. Now, as I'm talking about, okay, now we're supposed to study the trees, the mountains, the clouds, the weather patterns. Are we supposed to be doing that? Is that what it's saying? Is it saying we are supposed to now be studying the sun and the stars and the planet and their rotation and those are above? Is that what that's meaning? Those things are above. What does this mean? It means seek the things of God where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. When we seek the things above, we are thinking of things of heaven, of eternity, of God, of the kingdom of God, what pleases the Lord. That's what the things above are that we're supposed to be setting our minds on. And we're supposed to be seeking the things that are above and setting our mind on these things. That is action. And that is diligence, and that is a conscious decision that I'm going to do this. Do you see how this is, here's what you should be doing? Setting your mind on the things above, not on the things of earth. Now, we have to think of some things on the earth because if we have children, they need to get fed. If we have laundry, it needs to get cleaned. If we have a car, we have to service that and get gas and take it to the gas station occasionally, and we have to, you know, there are things on the earth that we have to do. We have to live this practical life. But when it says seek the things that are above, not of the earth, we're going to be thinking about eternity. We're going to be thinking about Jesus Christ. When we are on the earth, there are things like taxes that can really be on our mind a whole lot. And there are things like politics. And there are things like the family dynamic and conflict and the rumbling that goes on among the other. And if you are an employer and you have employees, then you know there's things there you have to manage as well, right? So what we have here is set your mind on the things above. What does that mean? Because we live on the earth. We are here, but we are of that. How do we do this? Let's see what else it says in these first four verses, and then I'm going to ask you that question. We're supposed to seek the things that are above in verse 1. In verse 2, we're supposed to set our mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. Verse 3, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. What does that mean about glory? Romans 8:18 says, for I consider that my sufferings of this present time on the earth, it's not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us. There's a glory that is coming. When Christ appears, there's glory that is coming. We will appear with him in glory. How do we live this life, but yet keep our mind on the things above? Because that's a dichotomy, maybe. But our instructions are, set your mind on the things above. So I want to ask you, and here's question one on your sheet of your homework. How do we do that? How do we live in a constant state of God is real? God is my Savior. God exists. I live for God now. How do you do that? And I want to ask, what do y'all do? And I gave you an example on that. Like, one thing you do is you come to Bible study, because this is wonderful. You are here to learn what the Word of God says, and you are putting your mind on the things of God that are above by coming to Bible study. That's the first one. But here we are as sisters of the same family of God. Let's help each other out. What do? Would someone like to raise your hand and share? How do you do that? How do you keep Christ constantly in your mind?
Well, you pray a whole lot. You've got him on your mind.
Pray a whole lot. Amen.
Develop discipline of having time with the Lord every day. And having him on your mind, I think, requires meditation. Reading the Word and meditating on it.
Thank you. Meditation, reading the Word, a daily discipline, quiet time.
Prayer and conversation with God all throughout the day. I have morning devos, Bible reading and journaling, and Bible studies like this. And at the end of every day, I finish off with Jesus calling to go to sleep.
Thank you very much. Morning devotional, prayer throughout the day. Back to you right here.
I think about all the things he has done for me and praise him, thank him, and just thank him for all my blessings.
Amen. A heart of thankfulness, thanking him for the blessings.
I was just going to say that I just try to live my life pure and like pleasing to God. And so the example would be I have friends going to a movie, and because I don't watch rated R or any type of movie outside of my little realm, then I just say no. And so it's making those conscious choices for God every time, even if you're stand apart.
Thank you. Making conscious choices about what you watch and things. Anybody else would like to share?
So I went to a Bible study last night that I wasn't wanting to go to simply just because I was kind of feeling tired and not like I wanted to do anything. But my mom texted me and she was like, hey, you told me that sometimes you need a nudge to do things, and you know, here's your nudge. And I went, and there was a lot of people there, and they were all very friendly. And someone said something that was in the Bible about what you do to the least of these, you do to me, and Jesus was saying that. So if you give a cup of water to a homeless person, you're doing that to me. Or if you visit someone in prison, you're doing that to me. And like saying yes to things and that would help myself and help other people, I want to do that more. I feel like I'm being called to do that.
Awesome. That's beautiful. Thank you. Is there anybody else that would like to share? Yes, thank you.
I just wanted to say, back up really what Linda said about keeping our priorities straight, and also don't. In my own life, there have been times when I know the Lord is speaking to me. For example, this is a long time ago. I was at Home Depot, Garden Center, and there was nobody else out there except me and the checker. The checker was this young woman. She had her arm in a sling. She looked really downcast. And it was, the Lord just spoke to me clearly, you should pray for her. But I didn't. I was in a rush. And I took off. I just told her, God bless you, and I took off. And I really got on my knees and asked forgiveness, because I think God puts opportunities in our heart every day. Maybe it's just a phone call. You need to call somebody and encourage them in some way or something. And it's just, you know, it's putting God before ourselves. And I didn't do it that day. And I know God forgave me, but still, it was a lesson for me.
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you.
When I read this, the first thing that popped in my mind was that old expression,
What Would Jesus Do? And I can remember when that came out and the little rubber bracelets came out, how silly I thought that was. But it's actually what we need to think every single day. What would Jesus do? And it makes it a challenge. And I'm one, I look at my, every time I walk into HEB, it's like, okay, Lord, I'm gonna smile and I'm gonna represent you the best I can in this very crowded place. But because you don't know who's watching you. You don't know who knows what, you've got to be a good representative at all times.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I also like to listen to praise and worship music most or all my day after I pray and read the Bible, and because it helps me to focus on the things above in my soul and my heart, and it brings me back to where I need to be instead of wandering my mind everywhere, because if I let my mind wander, it can go anywhere, so it helps me to focus.
Praise and worship music.
It just occurred to me, I started the book, God is closer than you think. And he said it's not about what you do think about setting time aside, but everything that you're doing, realizing he's there and being aware of when you're resting, being aware of whatever is going on, not just saying, well, I'll set this side of time, but he is everywhere and just being aware of what you're doing, that he's there with you. I thought that was really cool.
Thank you. Constantly being aware that God is always with you. Very nice. Yes, ma'am. I love this.
You know, when I used to teach school, I made it a priority to spend time with him, and in order to do that, I had to get up early. And I didn't. But now I'm retired, and I easily get distracted. So, you know, I have time on my hands. So sometimes that's not the first thing I choose. I go out and look at my plants, or I check the news, or whatever. And I was just thinking, no, that needs to be the first thing of my day. And put aside the other things, I still have time in the day. But an encouragement to you younger people who work and have children and so forth, that was the only time I could do it. And it sure made a difference in my day, in my teaching, and with my kids when I had time with the Lord first. So now I have to work on that. You know, I just have cats, but I have to work on that, so.
Thank you so much for sharing. Thank you all for sharing. Yes, ma'am, I'll circle back around this way. Praise the Lord. Y'all are wonderfully setting your mind on the things above. That is wonderful, and I hope that, you know, what one more share can maybe encourage you to incorporate one more of those practices. Wow, I love you guys. I'm so proud of you all. Yay, this is wonderful. You know, we just sang a song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, right? And so, you know, when you're going through life, anything that helps you keep your mind on Jesus, anything. And sometimes it's that diligent choice, and sometimes it's the worship music, and sometimes it's, like in my house, I have a couple of scriptures, you know, on the wall paintings and things like that. Just things that constantly remind me. Just keep your thoughts on the Lord. Keep your thoughts on the Lord. This is wonderful. Y'all are active and engaging. I love it. Ladies, we are the church. We are the body of Christ. What we do to keep our own lives focused on the Lord, it shows up in the way that we love other people. Isn't that beautiful and wonderful? I'm so proud of y'all. God would be so proud of y'all. This is beautiful. Okay, all this wonderful keeping your thoughts and wonderful things on the Lord. I had wanted to share with you guys something about the penetrating, transforming power of Scripture. And I'm going to share with you my story, because it happened last week on Thursday, and I thought,
okay.
So, it happened at HEB. Okay, I want to just read a few scriptures a little bit to prep your mind to where I was at when my AGB story happened. When we get down to verse 8 of chapter 3, Colossians, God says, "But now you must put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth." And on verse 12, it says, "As God's chosen ones, put on then, holy and beloved people, put on compassionate hearts with kindness and humility." Okay. So I'm in HEB with someone, and something happened in HEB with the person I was with, and I got angry. Because, you know, it doesn't mean we never get angry, all right? But I got angry. I'm in the store with this person. This person does something, and I am angry, and I'm in the store. And I'm just, you know how your face gets stern, and you push the cart with great intent? You don't really, shopping became a very intensive thing that day because the person I was with, I didn't want to be all sweet and kind with. So I was shopping. Anyway, while I'm shopping, I'm thinking, I cannot wait to tell the story to my sister and this other person. And I was like fuming because of what happened in the store. But I was like, oh, I'm so angry. And planning my slander. And got to the car, and I couldn't use the phone in the store. I go, well, let me tell you what just happened, right? So I get to the car, and God's like, don't you slander. Don't you slander. You cannot tell this story to anybody. Now, I'm telling you, I got angry, but you don't know who it was. You don't know what happened. So God's like, no, this one's not for sharing. This story will not be shared. If you share this story, if you say what happened, that's slander. And so I was angry, and I was fighting the slander. But I was still angry. So then I'm driving home, you know, trying not to be angry and trying not to slander. And God's like, don't slander, don't slander. I'm like, okay, I cannot share this story. I hear you. I'm teaching the Bible study on Colossians 3 next week. I can't slander. Yes, Lord, I hear you. Okay, this story is not for sharing. And then I get home, and I'm still mad. You ever got mad, and you're just mad for a long time mad? And I've clearly heard God say, don't talk about it. Okay, so now I'm mad, I'm still mad, and then I'm like, I'm not going to talk about it, but I'm still mad. And God said, you know, there's also compassion that you can be giving to the other person. And when I thought about the compassion, I'm like, okay, I'm going to give compassion in this scenario. Then the anger went away. A little bit, not completely. Because compassion really can help to take away some of that intensity. But I was still angry, because things happen and they make us angry. So then I'm reading again, because I had all that in my head because I had prepared it to give you the homework sheet for last week. So God had already given me the lesson before I got angry. So then I'm rereading and preparing again for today, and I'm still kind of angry. And so my sister calls me up on Saturday. Hey, let's get together and have sister day. I'm like, okay, let's go. And she's my person I tell my stuff to. And I thought, I'm going to be with her all day, and I can't slander. I cannot talk about it. I cannot say these things that made me angry because it would be detrimental to somebody, right? And I was like, okay, God, this is going to be a big test because she's my person that I share stuff with. And I know you don't want me to share this story, so God, help me to not slander. And so we went, we had sister day, sister time, and I did not share the story.
Nobody up to this point, hopefully never ever, knows the details of what happened or what made me angry. So I felt like I had an opportunity in front of me again to slander, a test, but God gave me the strength not to share that story and not to slander. So then I come back to this study for getting ready for more for today. And then there's put away anger, put away slander, be compassionate. And then God says in verse 13, bearing with one another is what we should do. And if you have a complaint against another, which I did, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And that's when I desired to forgive. That's when the anger went away. And I don't tell you this because I'm telling you I'm a super Christian, because I am not. I'm telling you this story because I am a woman and I walk the earth and I'm with you in it. And I got angry and I wanted to slander. And I had an opportunity to slander and I was angry and I was fighting with the anger. Don't we get that way? Are you angry? Is there somebody or something that makes you angry? God says, be angry and do not sin. Anger in itself is not a sin. Being angry is not the sin. Anger says something is wrong, something needs to change, or something happened that should have been different. The emotion of anger is not the sin. It's what you do with what you do when you're angry could be the sin. And God is saying, put it away, the anger, the wrath, the malice, the hatred. You know, I'm here to share the glory of God because I'm walking and doing my daily life and I get angry and God is speaking to me. Don't slander. And then when I'm fighting how to get rid of that anger, God says, put on compassion. And that helped. And then when it was still lingering a little bit, God said, forgive. It is God. It is God's word that can penetrate our hearts and can change our lives. Maybe anger is not your thing. Maybe it's, you know, a different something that you're dealing with. That we are all in this life together and we are sisters in the body of Christ. And I'm learning from you about how to keep my mindset on the things above. And then, you know, you think, okay, one day I am going to stand in front of my Lord God. And you will too. One day, there's a day. And I have to answer for everything I say. And God was walking with me and he was saying, don't slander. And it's because he did that is the reason why in that instance I have not slandered. Now please hear me. I'm a sinner and I have slandered in the past. God forgive me. I've shared stories that have no business repeating. And God gets on to me because he's like, I want you to use your mouth to proclaim the word of God. Not to proclaim how other people mess up. I have been rebuked for that many times. So here I am again, getting ready to do it again. God's like, and I pray for you, for whatever you're going through. And when the next opportunity comes and you feel that anger, or you're lingering in it even now with something that's making you stirred up and angry, that we will be this type of person. And we can be with God's help. I asked you a question too. Is it possible to live in perfection according to these verses? And I don't know how you answered that question, but I'm going to tell you, yes, it is possible to live in perfection according to these verses. Yes, you can live pure, holy, calm lives. Because you can do it with the Spirit of God helping you. The answer to the question is it possible? Yes. So if you are struggling with something, know that High Point Church has counselors. And they can, you know, walk with you and talk with you through some stuff if you've got some big stuff and you need help with that. But I also want to say, if you hear the voice of the Lord and he's whispering to you, don't slander. Or he's whispering to you, whatever, right? Obey the voice of the Lord because that's where peace comes. I'm not angry anymore.
It happened on Thursday of last week. I'm not angry anymore. And I have not slandered that story. And I am at peace. And I feel like in that one little way, because God was speaking to me through his word into my mind, you know, last week I did not sin. Does that make sense? Y'all, this is not me bragging at all. This is me saying the word of God is powerful to penetrate your heart and your mind. And if we keep our mind on the things above, and you know that one day you're going to stand in front of the Lord, and it is possible. It is possible. So we're just going to end right there because of our time. There is more in chapter 3, but we are going to not revisit chapter 3 next week. So if you have the homework sheet, we're just going to start with chapter 4 when we come next week. But if you want to talk anything else about this, anything else in chapter 3, you want to talk about stuff, reach out to me. I'm happy to visit with you, talk with you about whatever, and pray with you. I'm going to pray to conclude our lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that your word is powerful. Thank you that you have given your word to us to walk in ways pleasing in your sight. Thank you that your spirit walks with us and talks to us so that we can hear your voice. Lord, I know there's a lot of stuff in chapter 3 and sharing. Oh, how wonderful this sharing was today. How many women are faithfully walking with you, working diligently, purposely setting their mind on the things above. Praise you, God. Praise the name of the Father. I'm so happy and proud of the women in this class for doing things to consciously put their mind on God, put their mind on the things above. So as we leave here today, God, walk with us every day. We need you every hour. Speak to us, guide us, and direct us with your voice that gives us instructions that help us to walk in the way everlasting. Lord, where we have sinned, search us out and let us know of those ways in which we have offended you. Like it says in Psalms, if we have offended you, Lord, let us know what those things are, and then lead us into the path everlasting. Forgive us of our sins. Oh, they are many. Forgive us where we fail you, Lord, but set us on the right path. Help us to seek you out, Lord, to know what does your word say and how to live according to the things that you have said. Dear Lord, thank you for this hour. Thank you for the love that is in this room among the women here. Thank you, dear Lord, for this church. Thank you for this time. And thank you most of all, God, that you are with us all the time and that your love is what guides us in all the instructions you give us. It's your love that is supreme. So we yield to you. Help us to yield to you. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.